right, if you have a Bible, turn to Daniel chapter 9, okay? Daniel chapter 9, if you have a Bible. If you don't have a Bible, then you can just look at the screens, or you can go online and maybe find Daniel there. But we've been in this series now for a couple of weeks, and it's been an interesting series so far as we look at things that are yet to come. And to me, it's what makes the Scriptures so unique and really so foundational is the look of prophecy, if you will, things that are yet to come, part of God's plan. And so you're going to see some remarkable things this morning, not because I'm sharing them, but because they're right here. And so anyway, we've been in a series called The End, and we started, you know, a few weeks ago with kind of signs of the times, things that you know, it looks like, okay, it's getting closer because of this and this and this, and piqued a whole lot of interest. And I think it piqued a whole lot of interest because of our world situation and because technology and weaponry have risen to, a level that everybody knows eventually there's some major problems that are going to happen. And that's why you see, you know, as I've told you before, believers down through the years have always been interested in this subject. But now people who aren't even believers are interested in this subject because literally, you don't have to be very connected to realize the state of our world situation. I mean, and it's always in front of us because of technology. And so a lot of people get on edge when you think and talk about those things. And if you ever had a major crisis again, a major world war, it would be devastating. And everybody knows it. So I think that's part of the reason for the increase, the huge interest in this particular subject. But remember this, whenever you watch something on television, okay, what you're getting is a lost person's perspective. Okay? Someone who doesn't know who the Lord is. And they're trying to present it in such a way that it will appeal to the audience as opposed to what is the truth about it. And so we've just been walking. We did that a couple of weeks ago. And we talked about the rapture of the church. And I'm not going to go into all those things because I ran out of time majorly last night. And then last week we talked about being prepared. Therefore, you being prepared. What does it mean to be prepared for His return? Now, today is just going to be tribulation, okay? The Bible has so much to say about this little span of time. In pretty much every prophet, there's this picture of this time that's coming. It's called several things, you know, tribulation, time of Jacob's trouble, and, you know, all of the different things that it is called. But there is one thing that is consistent throughout the Bible, throughout the ages, throughout time frame, is this tribulation this week. So this is going to be something that we're going to share today. And it's kind of difficult for me to share because I know there's lots of you in the room that you don't even know what I'm talking about, right? You hadn't been exposed to any of this. And so I'm going to be sharing that. Some of you have kind of known some of these through the years. Some of these, you're in active looking at different things like and everything. So as I share today, my goal is to share what the Scripture says. Try to stay away from a lot of speculations of what this might be and what that might be. And we'll do a little bit of that, but that'll be next week. But I just want to kind of present it in such a way that really today kind of has, not because I'm doing it, but it kind of has a wow factor. Because when you look at what God allowed Daniel to see, it is pretty remarkable. And it's just such a short little phrase, a couple of phrases of what he showed him. But you'll see it in just a moment. So we just decided just to talk today about tribulation, this 7-year period that Jesus said it's going to get so bad that nobody would survive if he didn't intervene. Okay, we talked about that in Matthew chapter 24. All right, so let's jump right into it. Okay, so if you have your Bibles, take a look at Matthew chapter 24. No, don't take a look. Just look at the screens. You stay in Daniel chapter 9. But Matthew chapter 24, okay. And verse 9, and you'll see the screens up here. Again, just, You know, no creative title today, just Tribulation Part 1. I tried to come up with another topic, I couldn't come up with one. All right, we're just going to go Tribulation. Guess what next week's going to be? Oh, yeah, y'all are a smart crowd. Tribulation Part 2. All right. And so, as we get to Ken, I just want you to see this picture. And this is not to scare anybody. This is to bring comfort to the fact that the God in which you serve is under control. Now, if you're not a believer, it may have a little fearfulness to it. All right. But again, the reasons for this is for us to know and us to understand that God has kind of put some things in motion that are pretty unique and pretty amazing. Matthew chapter 24. This is Jesus' words. We talked about this the first week. Matthew 24 and 25. The beginning part of Matthew 24, Jesus is asked the question by his disciples. Hey, what is the, you know, what's the coming of the end of the age? You know, what are the signs of your coming and the coming of the end of the age? And this was Jesus' response in Matthew 24 and 25. 25 we talked about last week. That's those two parables about being prepared. 24, Jesus kind of gives you some specifics, and it is interesting to take a look at. Take a look at verse 9. It says, "Then they will deliver you up to tribulation. They'll put you to death, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake." So it talks about a tribulation time. Jesus even gives it a name. Okay? The name tribulation. Continue to read. "And many will fall away, betray one another, and hate one another. Many false prophets will arise." We'll talk a little bit more about that next week. "Lead many astray." Okay? "But the one who endures to the end will be saved." All right? "And this gospel of the kingdom will proclaim throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." We'll talk about that hopefully today. You know, as I told the group last night, there is so much here. Okay, there is so much here. For some of you that are interested, because I'm going to be blowing by these things kind of at a higher altitude, okay? Because there's just no way to cover everything. And so for the next 4 or 5 weeks on Wednesday nights, I just usually do just a verse-by-verse study through a book of the Bible. We just finished Galatians. Okay, this coming Wednesday, and for about 4 or 5 weeks, I'm going to do what I call an overflow night. Okay, what's an overflow night? An overflow night is I'm going to share a lot of things that I didn't have time to share. Okay, because there's so much and so much to look at. So if you have more interest past what I'm sharing about, and you'll hear me say along the way, we may hit that on a Wednesday night. You may want, if that's part of something you like doing, if you can't make it on Wednesday night, perhaps you can stream it live wherever you are or something like that. But for those of you that are really interested in some of the other things, that'll give you that opportunity. Now, so basically this picture of when the gospel is preached to the whole world has to do with the group in the book of Revelation called the 144,000. And boy, there's a whole chapter that we could write on them. And I may get to it a little bit today. But what is that group of people? And what is their goal? I think Jesus tells us in that verse right there. Okay, when it talks about the gospel being preached to the whole world, then the end will come. Look at verse 15. "So when you see," this is what Jesus is saying here, "so when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel standing in the holy place, let the reader understand." Okay, "let the reader understand" is in parentheses. So I believe that "let the reader understand" obviously was written by Matthew. So he puts a parenthetical statement to what Jesus just said that should flag in your brain. Okay, there's something in Daniel you need to understand. Okay, do you see it? Look at the previous part of the verse. Okay? "So when you see the abomination of desolation," okay, "spoken of by the prophet Daniel," that should immediately say, okay, it's time to turn back to Daniel. And where is it found with the abomination of desolation? So that, let the reader understand, there's something that contains there, something I think that you have to figure out. You have to see, you have to understand, okay, this particular picture. So that's what we're going to do today. And a good chunk of our time today is going to be spent not in the book of Revelation, but in the book of Daniel. Because it is in the book of Daniel that a lot of the foundation is built for the book of Revelation. You'll see just in a minute. I believe with all my heart that the book of Revelation is really just an expansion of Daniel's 70th week. Okay? And if you're looking at me and go, 70th week? Jeff, what are you talking about? We'll get to it, okay? And you'll see it in just a minute. It's just a bigger version of what's going to happen in that last period that's called the tribulation. Okay? So again, I want us to walk, not want to walk too slow, but I want us to walk a little bit here at the end, let you see a couple of other things. But I wanted you to see this. I'll begin with Jesus flagging this about the end times, flagging this section of Scripture in Daniel. That's found in Daniel chapter 9, by the way, the abomination of the desolation. And we'll talk about it. We'll talk about it in just a minute. Okay? But before we go down to that part of Daniel 9, take a look at the beginning part of Daniel 9. Okay? Daniel 9, verse 1. Okay, Daniel chapter 9, verse 1. You know, it's an incredible thing. Daniel is an amazing, in fact, on Wednesday nights, when I get through done with some of the overflow things, I just may just do it just a verse-by-verse study just through the book of Daniel. Because I don't know what it is about Daniel, but God seemed to give Daniel, he just seemed to give Daniel an amazing picture. Isaiah was another one that God seemed to give a whole lot to. You know, we read some of his verses in Isaiah at Christmas time, and we read some of them. In fact, there's a clearer representation of the cross of Christ in Isaiah 53 than there is in the Gospels. And Isaiah was written 700 years before Jesus was born. It's an amazing thing. But Daniel was the other one. And you'll see some of the things that Daniel wrote. It's remarkably accurate to not only how things happened, but then things that are even yet to come past our time. It's remarkable. And it also becomes a real key, I believe, just this one little chapter, and the other parts of Daniel 2, just this one little chapter, really one little four, five, six verses that really gives you kind of the foundation of the book of Revelation that John builds upon. Okay, So as we walk through this, listen real close. This is something that maybe I can point out you haven't seen before, perhaps things you haven't seen ever before. Let's take a look at it in chapter 9, verse 1. Okay, chapter 9, verse 1, it says there, "In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, by descendant of Mede, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans." Now, when did Daniel live? Daniel lived at a time of exile. It was a time when Israel had been totally defeated. Jerusalem was destroyed and burned to the ground, and they took a lot of captives into exile into Babylon, and then the Babylonians were defeated by the Persians, Medes and the Persians. That's this picture here. And so Daniel is kind of one of these captives, but he's extremely intelligent, and he is used in a lot of different ways and is trusted. But there's this picture here then of who Daniel is and look of what he did to understand. Let's take a look at verse 2. Now don't read this closely. It says this. "In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, perceived in the books the number of years according to the word of the Lord to Jeremiah the prophet must pass before the end of the desolations of Jerusalem, namely, 70 years." And you're going, huh? All right, don't miss this. Believe it or not, it's really pretty neat. All right, Jeremiah wrote before Daniel. So obviously here, Daniel had Jeremiah's book, just like you have Jeremiah's book, okay? Either in the book form, the Bible, or you have it online, okay? Or you have a program that you can do it, all right? But look back at that. Look back at the verse, first part of that verse. All right. In the first year of reign, look at this. Look what it says. I, Daniel. What did I, Daniel, do? I, Daniel, perceived in the books. So what does that show you? That shows you that Daniel is studying the Old Testament books. He's studying the prophecies that people like Jeremiah made that still hadn't been fulfilled in Daniel's time. So he looks and he sees and he understands when he reads these other books, okay? So he perceived in the books the number of years, okay, that according to the word of the Lord, Jeremiah the prophet. So when Jeremiah wrote before, God had shown Jeremiah this picture of what was going to happen, mainly the destruction of Jerusalem and Israel, but also Jeremiah gave some encouragement and some comfort that the time, okay, of this, if you will, exile is not going to go on forever. Okay, and take a look at it. Jeremiah the prophet must pass before the end of the desolation of Jerusalem, namely 70 years. And so what at this point you read, I just don't have time this morning, read the rest of the book, chapter 9 up till about verse 20. And it's basically just Daniel's prayer asking God to fulfill his promise because, you know, we're on the 69th year, God, okay? And so it says in your word that, and I know your word's true, and so this has got to be happening because this is what's going to happen. So, and it does, and it's pretty amazing how it is. But here's what I want you to see. God has done this all along for those who have ears to hear and those who want to know. The question is not whether it's true. The question is, do you want to know that it's true? Does that make sense to anybody? I found most people don't want to know. But Daniel wanted to know. And so Daniel looked and he studied and it was there for all to see. 70 years. And that had been on its 69th year, supposed to happen. And so in response to this, he goes on to pray, talks about, Israel, and they've messed up along the way. And then we jump into this other piece, okay? In Daniel chapter 9 and verse 20. It says, while I was speaking and praying, confessing my sin, the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my plea before the Lord my God for the holy hill of my God. There's just so much I could say about every verse. That's why I just keep thinking I got to come back and just do Daniel verse by verse. But just to show a couple of things to you. So he was spending time in prayer. This is kind of the end of it. He was confessing sin, not only his sin, but the sin of his nation. And then he his thought was, he's presenting his plea before the Lord. It says, for the holy hill of my God. What is the holy hill of my God? Well, it's still there today. It was a place that God writes a story, and it just seems to follow that story. It's the same hill that Abraham sacrificed Isaac on, right? That became the Temple Mount, which is still hotly contested today in Jerusalem. I have stood there. There's a Muslim shrine on it now called the Dome of the Rock. It's just amazing how these things just keep following along. The one and the most hotly contested place in the world is that one little hill. And I'm telling you what, I got a hill in Tennessee bigger than it. Isn't it amazing? Amazing when you walk through and see these things. I've got to stop or you're not going to get to see everything. All right. Here we go. Continue to read. Verse 21. While I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel. Anybody ever heard of him? All right, he's a Christmas type of a character. All right, and I find it interesting that he's the one that brings this message to Daniel. In this introduction of not only who he is, but as the continuity goes along, when you understand that he shows up in a young girl's bedroom, all right, a few hundred years after this, and makes another announcement. All right, let's continue to read. Okay. Whom I had seen in the vision at the first came to me in swift flight at the time of evening. Okay? He made me understand. In other words, he was there to open his mind too, let him see and understand. Because so much is symbolic sometimes, especially in the book of Revelation. So much is symbolic. Okay? And something stands for something. And so it was the ability to understand is there. Jesus did that with the parables. You know, when he talked about different things. All right, but let's continue to read. Speaking with me and saying, "Oh Daniel, I have now come out to give you insight and to give you understanding. At the beginning of your pleas for mercy, a word went out and I have come to tell it to you." This is amazing. "For you are greatly loved." I think I could do a whole message on that. "For you are greatly loved." All right, but I'm not going to. All right, here we go. "Therefore, consider the word and understand the vision." Therefore, verses 24 through verses 27 is this explanation of what he's just seen. And it is amazing. Okay? And when you get a good understanding of it, which I'm going to give you just a simple understanding. I mean, so many try to make this so complicated when I think it's very understandable. Okay? Now, when you take a look then at this picture of tribulation, I want you to see that what he's about to explain to you is huge. Okay? And I can't tell you how important it is. Now, I have a couple of things that I want to share with you this morning. More than likely, I will only share the first one. Okay? We'll see how quickly we get through it. But I have two things I'd like to share with you. Number one is just an overview. Okay? Because that is what this Daniel passage is, an overview of this week and how it fits in with history. Okay? All right? How it fits in with God's plan. That's what we want to talk about a little bit today. All right, the second one are some of the personalities that are going to be in the tribulation, like the Antichrist and the false prophet, the 144,000, the two witnesses. And if I can get to that today, we will. But I definitely want to get through this 70-week thing, okay? As you see in Daniel chapter 9, verse 24, it says 70 weeks. Now, the better translation, believe it or not, is 70, the 77s. So 70 sevens, apostrophe S, okay? 70 groups of seven. All right, that's this picture here. We'll talk a little bit more about it in a minute, all right? They're decreed about, here we go, if you like writing in your Bible, Bible will tell you if you will really look. Look, decreed about who? This is crowd participation time. Who? Your people. Now, who are Daniel's people? The Jews, all right? Israel. Okay, so this entire thing is about Israel, the Jews. The entire look of the book of the thought of this whole tribulation thing, you've got to remember, that is a Jewish thing. Has always been and has. Listen, the church that we know of today, it was not really even referred to in the Old Testament. Yeah, little bits and pieces like a light to enlighten the Gentiles, right? And that God was going to bring unto himself the Gentiles and different things like that. But this whole idea of this church that we'll get to in a minute was not really in there. So therefore, when you take a look at the book of Revelation, you don't really see the church involved. So this is, and even the 144,000, which hopefully we'll get to today, those are Jewish people. Go read it in Revelation 7, I believe. Those are Jewish people that are going out. Therefore, where is the church during all this? That's why most people, including myself, believe the church is gone by then. Okay? That's this rapture that we talked about a couple of weeks. They're gone. God takes them out. Before this happened, that was the whole picture of Enoch. And then later, Noah, which we'll talk about in a couple of weeks. When you look those things all together, then it begins to fall into place a little bit. But remember this. Remember, these are things that are all still future, and some is speculative. We know that it's going to happen. We just may not know how it's going to happen. Okay? And by the way, it says, decreed about your people and your holy city. Okay, so we're talking about Jerusalem now. So we're talking about the Jews, and we're talking about Jerusalem. And Jerusalem's going to be the center place of all this. Okay, now, by the way, let's talk about this. The Jews and the holy city. The Jews and the holy city. The Jews and the holy city. Now, don't miss this piece, and I've got to do this quicker than I did last night. But let's talk just a minute. If you want proof about all of these things, one of the greatest proofs I can give you stares you in the face every day. And it's what I call the miracle of the nation of Israel. It is absolutely a miracle that stares you in the face. As I saw yesterday, that our president got upset with Netanyahu about something, I don't know. And there they are. It's always right out. And guys, I'm talking about a piece of land that's no bigger than the Massachusetts. Okay? The half the state of Florida. With just a fraction of 1% of the world's population. And yet, isn't it amazing who they are? And how God's protected them. But also how it seems to be that they seem to be such the object of such hatred. It's an incredible thing to me. But the miracle of them, you'll find out in a minute, that they were conquered in 70 AD. Okay? You do the math. All right? They did not become a nation again until 1948. Okay? If some of you know the history of when that happened. I was not alive then. But I'm here to tell you, it was a miracle that happened in front of them. There is not anybody ever heard of any nation at any time that was conquered in 70 A.D. and then some 1,800 and something years later, they become a country again. I mean, are you kidding me? Most of those ancient people groups are not even designated by the same name anymore. They've intermixed with other groups to form other things. It is an amazing thing of how that all these Jewish people from all the different countries, German Jews, Polish Jews, Russian Jews, and American Jews, they were all over the world. And then the Holocaust happened, as you know about that. And then after World War II was over, the Brits had control of that area of Israel. And groups of Jews came to them and said, we've got to have our own home. We can't just be living in other places because this kind of thing happens. We've got to have our own. And so the sympathy of 6 million in a Holocaust, they gave it to them. And the nation of Israel, because I'm here to tell you, all these prophecies that we're talking about today and next week, I'm here to tell you, for the longest time, pre-1948, all the people would read and they would be talking about, you know, the nation of Israel and the city of Jerusalem and all these things in the book of Revelation. Everybody would be scratching their head and say, well, the Jewish people are scattered all over the place. They don't even speak the same language. How in the world can this even happen? It's an amazing thing. If you look at it in the big picture. And they came back in, and if you know anything about their history, I've been over there several times, and how God's protected them there were 4 million of them at the time, surrounded by 40 million Arabs that hated them, who were dedicated to drive them into the sea. And it didn't happen. It didn't come close to happening. And when you drive over there today, I'm here to tell you, listen to me. The language of Hebrew was almost a dead language. A group of rabbis held it together, right? Because, you know, guess what? The Polish Jews spoke Polish, all right? The Russian Jews spoke. Nobody, none of the Jews knew it anymore. Dead language, basically. But when they all moved back to Israel, guess what they did? Hebrew became the official language of Israel. And they started having to teach it. If you go over to Israel today, you see these kibbutzes, right? These are these little communities where people from all over the world, Jews from all over the world, would move back to Israel. And they were teaching them Hebrew, how to write it and to read it. When you drive around now on signs, it's road signs, Hebrew. Right there on, I mean, that it's their language, it's their national language. Therefore, how does a dead language return? The whole thing is miraculous. I've spent too much time on this, but I want you to see that this nation of Israel is central to this. And they are central to pretty much everything prophetic in the Scriptures. Okay? The church is not involved. This tribulation thing is a purely Jewish event. It's not going to be a positive one either. But it's purely a Jewish event that God has reasons and purposes, which he shares with Daniel. Okay? When you take a look at it. Let's take a look at why all this is going to happen. Here we go. It says 70 weeks are decreed. We talked about it being the... People will talk about the 70 weeks in just a minute. Why? Why is this tribulation coming? Here we go. Look at this. To finish transgression. To put an end to sin. To atone for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision in the prophets, and to anoint a most holy place. Those are the purposes for what he's about to do in these 70 weeks. Most of them are found in Jesus, by the way. Did you see it? I mean, how is righteousness truly ever attained unless someone gives you righteousness? Why? Because none of us are righteous, the Scripture says. Okay, how do you atone for sin? That is to make up for, to make sin right. How do you end transgression? I mean, how do all those things happen? A lot of it have to do with Jesus, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. But I want you to see here that Daniel wrote several hundred years before Jesus ever came. But God's giving him a pretty clear picture. You're about to see a little bit more of it in just a moment. All right? A couple of things just to tell you about it, as we'll read the rest of it in just a minute. But there's two different princes that are mentioned. Let's read it in verse 25. Know therefore and understand that from the going out of the word to restore and build Jerusalem to the coming of the anointed one, a prince, there shall be 7 weeks, then 62 weeks, and it shall be built again with squares and moat, but in a troubled time. And after the 62 weeks, an anointed one shall be cut off. Now, does anybody know what the Hebrew word for anointed one is? Anybody know today? Crowd participation for those of you who know. Anybody know? Messiah, of course. The word Messiah, that's a Hebrew word that just means anointed one. So it's translated here as opposed to just told you the word Messiah. Therefore, there's going to be an anointed one that's going to come. And what's going to happen to him? He's going to be cut off. It's an incredible thing. He's just mentioned atoning for sin. He's just mentioned end of transgression. He's just mentioned everlasting righteousness. And now he goes on to this coming prince that's going to come, who's going to be a Messiah. And he is going to be cut off during this time. And you'll see it in just a minute. We'll put it all together. So you got Daniel, who's got a pretty clear picture, because I've found that when you look at all of these things, who Jesus is and the cross and resurrection are central to all of it. Everything before looks forward to it, like Daniel is doing, and everything past looks back toward it. It is a central piece in God's plan, okay? And all of it revolves around it or has some sort of picture toward it. And you're going to find the same here. Okay? So we have this. There's another prince that's going to be coming. Basically, it's the Antichrist, but in this particular picture, it has to do with someone who's going to come, which we'll talk about in a minute, who's going to actually destroy Jerusalem after that. But let's talk about these 70 weeks, because within these 70 weeks, it's pretty amazing. Now, there's 70 weeks, 77s, okay? For those of you that are math majors, 70 times 7 is how many? 490. So you look at it, 490, okay? 490, and these are weeks of years. Therefore, when you have a week, you have 7 days, right? All right, but in reality, the picture here is 7 years, which the 70th week, the last week of Daniel's prophecy, has to do with the tribulation, that last 7 years. And that is what the book of Revelation refers to and is all about. Basically, the book of Revelation just expands on Daniel's 70th week. But I find it remarkable, and I hope you do too, to not lose sight in the fact that Daniel was written hundreds of years before Jesus was ever even born. Okay? Perhaps some 500 years before Daniel was ever born. Before Jesus was ever born. And you got John, who's writing toward the end of his life in the book of Revelation. But they all fit together. See, that is one of the things that has just fascinated me over the year about the Bible, is how that you can take 40 different authors over a period of about 1,500 years in 3 different languages, and yet every one of them seems to go the same direction and are basically teaching the same thing. So you have these 70 weeks. And so what God says that the time is going to start, basically it's 490 years. I'd call that a pretty big picture, 490 years, considering we've only been a country, for 200 and plus. You think about these long, but God has a plan. And there was something interesting, much like the 70 years in captivity, that Daniel was reminding God that he'd made this promise. Hey, the clock started ticking. Hey, we're in the 69th year. Aren't you about to do something here? In the same way, there's going to be another clock that starts ticking. God does things according to plan, and for those who truly want to know. Now, some people have asked me, Jeff, do I really have to know all this to be a believer? Absolutely not. You don't have to know all these things. All you got to know is that you're a sinner and that Jesus died for your sin. You put your faith and trust in him. That's all you have to know. But if you want to grow and understand that the God that you serve is and does and is and has a plan, these things are incredible to learn about and know that He is at work. Sometimes when things seem to be their most chaotic is the time when we need to see He has a plan. And it's going to happen. It's just a matter of time. So what happened here? Okay, there was going to be 70 weeks. The final week is the 70th week. Now, it gives you three different times. It gives you a week. It gives you, 7 weeks. It gives you 62 weeks. And it gives you 1 week. And you add them up at 70. Okay? Within the first, okay, there's going to be several things that are accomplished. But when does the clock begin? When does the clock begin? That's the thing to ask yourself. Let's take a look at it because it tells us here. Right? Look, therefore, in verse 25. Know therefore and understand, here we go, that from the going out of the word to restore and build Jerusalem, okay, to the coming of an anointed one, a prince, there's going to be 7 weeks and then 62 weeks, and it shall be built again with moats and all the rest. So there's going to be this picture of 69 weeks. And what's going to kick it off is the word to go out that to rebuild and restore Jerusalem. Now, notice here it doesn't say rebuild the temple. That happened much earlier. Okay? That was Zerubbabel. That's Ezra recorded that in the beginning part. But it was later when the command, in fact, they kind of got in trouble when they were trying to rebuild Jerusalem and kind of got stopped in what they were doing. But Jerusalem and its restoration went all the way up to the time of Nehemiah. In fact, they have that exact date when this decree went out. Okay? It's pretty remarkable when you take a look at it. Right? And as soon as that word went out, the clock began. And I want you to know that at the end of the 69 weeks, in fact, I don't have time to explain it to you. We may do this on a Wednesday night for a few of you that are egg-heady and love this stuff. And by the way, I'm one of you, just so you don't think I'm insulting you, all right? Because I love that kind of stuff, all right? There was a wonderful study done by a guy by the name of Sir Robert Anderson and many since. But he was kind of the first to go back and put it together. He broke it down into days, and it is remarkable to look at. So Robert Anderson, in his book, The Coming Prince, you could see why he would call the book The Coming Prince, he outlines the entire thing. And I want you to know that to the day, all right, there's this picture of the time when the decree went out to rebuild Jerusalem until the day of the triumphal entry of Christ. All right? 483 years. 483 years. For those of you who have ears to hear. And so there it was. But, you know, in the middle of it, okay, 70 weeks. Okay, well, 77. But, you know, when it's beforehand, you don't look, but when you look back at it and you begin to see what He's doing, it is truly remarkable to look at. It's one of those wow things in the Scriptures that you've got here with Daniel, that Daniel gets to see several things. He gets to see a Messiah that's going to be here, and then he finds out that this Messiah is going to be cut off. Well, that's not even what the Jewish people were thinking when Jesus came the first time. They were looking for a conqueror, a deliverer. They had no idea that they were going to be the ones that were going to fulfill what Daniel had seen so many years ago. And when you begin to see it all fit together, it bolsters everything inside of you to see, God, this is truly remarkable. Who you are and what you are doing, if you want to know. I've just found that most people don't want to know. They'd rather deny it in ignorance than to take a look at it and see, what does it really say? And what are the claims that are put together? But this is one of the most remarkable, right? So this is going to, the time go out. So we've already talked about that. But this entire picture is 70 weeks. Now, there's something going to happen. Look at verse 26. There's something that's going to happen after these 69 weeks. Okay? And here it is. And if you like writing in your Bible, here we go. And after the 62 weeks. Now, we already have the 7 weeks, but after the 62 weeks, an anointed one shall be cut off and shall have nothing. So there's this picture that after the 69 weeks run out, this is that the Messiah himself is going to be cut off. Something else is going to happen. Take a look at it. It says that there's going to be, and the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, or the temple, and all will end with a flood, and the end thereof shall be war. Desolations are decreed. Okay, so two events are going to happen after the clock runs out on those 69 weeks. First of all, the Messiah is going to be cut off. That's already happened. And that the city of Jerusalem and the temple are going to be destroyed. And that happened afterwards also. But to understand, it didn't happen till 40 years or about 40 years after Jesus came in the triumphal entry and eventually was killed and resurrected. In 70 AD, Titus came through. The Romans came through and leveled everything. I mean, right to the ground. In fact, there's an amazing victory arch still in Rome today. I have seen it. That shows the soldiers depicted carved in stone carrying out a menorah out of the temple. Man, it's all there if you want to see it. It's pretty remarkable. So anyway, so we have this picture afterwards. So there's a pause. And Jesus talks about the pause. Theologians call it the great parentheses. However you want to call it, pause, parentheses, whatever. But there's a gap between the 69th week and the 70th. I mean, it becomes obvious when you hear Jesus. And there's a gap between the two. In this final week, the 70th week has not begun yet. Because it tells us in the next verse what's going to start the clock for the 70th week. We'll look at it in just a minute. All right. Keep following with me here. I know I'm throwing a lot at you. All right. But most of you are still listening, so we're good. All right. So here we go. So what is this pause for? It's one of the most amazing plans, I believe, in God's history. And the reason I think it's one of the most amazing plans is because it has to do with you and it has to do with me. It's what we call the age of the church. It was this parentheses time that the gospel was taken out into the Gentile world. I want you to know that doesn't mean that Gentiles won't be saved in the tribulation, but I want you to know, as looking at the book of Revelation, it is almost an entirely a Jewish thing during the tribulation. You'll see it when we get to it. It's not going to happen today. All right? Next week. All right? So as I kind of close these things down, a couple other things I want to share with you before I'm done. Okay? There's so much I want you to hear, so much I want you to see. But I wanted you to see that picture, that parentheses, and that time that's been now hundreds and hundreds of years of where the gospel's been. I mean, when God came to Paul and said, take the gospel to the Gentiles. And it says that the Jews would be set aside for a while. You know, you don't even hear about the church in the book of Revelation and during the tribulation. That's why I believe it to be gone. Therefore, its job of doing what it was doing is not there anymore. It's going to fall to others. And so when you take a look at this time, I believe personally, right, this is Jeff talking. Everybody understand what I'm saying? I believe there's coming a time when the last Gentile will become a believer. And the clock will stop. It could happen in this service today. There's never been a time you put your faith and trust in Christ. You can do that today. It has nothing to do with me. This church has to do with who God is and His work in your life and understanding His plan and what it means. But I believe there's coming a time, therefore, when that's done. Therefore, the major goal of the book of Tribulation, the book of Revelation, the major goal is to return the Jewish people to their Messiah. It's throughout the Bible, guys. The Jew is at the center of it. They're God's people. You may not like it, but it's the truth. They're God's people, and God has them at the center. But during this pause, as He set them on the shelf, it's an amazing thing, okay, when you take a look at it. So we're going to talk about the rest of it. Let me just share with you a little bit of what it says about this 70th week. Look at verse 27. This is where we'll be done. This is what's going to happen that kicks it off. Here we go. And he shall make a strong covenant with many for 1 week and for half of the week. Okay? So there's this coming time. What do you mean a strong covenant? Well, he's going to make a covenant, all right? A strong covenant with Israel. Who are we talking about here? We're talking about this prince. We're talking about the Antichrist. We'll talk about him next week, okay? There's going to be an agreement. And in fact, there's no way to really share it with you all. But when this covenant is made that ensures Israel's safety from a very strong nation, many people believe it to be, and I'll share with you why they do next week, basically a restored Roman Empire, or at least some of those areas, the Scripture says. The Scripture talks about the Antichrist conquering three of those countries, but then including seven others to make it 10. And we'll talk about that next week. But remember this, he's powerful enough to ensure Israel's safety. So Israel begins to really bind him. So there's going to be this covenant. And that's when the clock begins to tick. Then halfway through the 7 years, he's going to break that covenant. And we'll see what happens next week, all right, when he does that. Okay, so as I close today, all right, I'm not doing that for me. It's probably for you. It's like, oh, yeah, okay, great. I know I threw a whole lot at you, but I want you to understand this picture. Is that these things come from the Scriptures in teaching us the things that are yet to come. But be real careful how you speculate what might be. We know that it is coming. We just don't know, again, what it's going to look like. Therefore, it's there for us to know that when it comes. So that when Jesus says, when that day happens, flee for the mountains, he's not talking to us. Remember there in Matthew 24? You know, don't go back into your house to get your valuables. All right, when this thing comes, he's talking to the Jewish people. When this thing comes, you get out of there, flee to the mountains. Okay? So we'll finish this up there. But here comes the great picture. If you're a believer here today, the picture of this is just to grow in our knowledge of who he is, because the more we know about who he is, the greater our faith can grow. So that's one of the great goals I have for this series. As believers, let's grow in who he is and what he's up to. And really the fact that he has it in his hands, he has a plan, and let's trust his plan, whether we understand it or not, right? But if you're not a believer here today, I want you to know there's this pause. And next week we'll talk about a delusion that will cause many to believe a lie. All we know is that during this time, the opportunity for you to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and respond to it is now. And for however long it lasts. So I always like to give people the opportunity to put their faith and trust in Christ. Because that is the centerpiece. And in reality, if you think about it, it's still the centerpiece. It's what our calendars are still numbered by. They can change it to whatever they want, you know, BCE and CE. They can do whatever they want to, but it's still all based around the birth of Christ, is it not? Our calendar we use today. Therefore, it's still the centerpiece. Okay? And will always be the centerpiece of the Scriptures and the prophecy. Therefore, there's never been a time in your life you put your faith and trust in him. There'll be some pastors right up here afterwards that would love to talk with you. The reason I do that, don't let that freak you out. The reason I do that is because I used to always have people that would come and say, well, I wanted to talk to somebody, but I couldn't find anybody. Okay, if you want to talk to somebody, there'll be somebody right here. Never want anybody leaving our service that wanted to talk to somebody that couldn't. Okay, if you want to hang around and talk to me, I would love to talk with you. But let me tell you this. I wouldn't leave here today. I wouldn't leave here today until I understood who Christ was, so that I could understand what it meant to put my faith and trust in him and what he did for me at the cross. We're going to talk more about that in weeks to come. All right? All right. Praise the Lord. All right. Great. Let's all stand. Let's all stand. Tim, wherever you are, come on out and close this. Looking forward to next week, we'll kind of finish this story of tribulation. Let me give you kind of where we're going. We're going to finish the tribulation next week, right? The second coming of Christ will be the week after that. Okay, and then the last one will be, what's the end look? I mean, what's the end game here? Okay, what is heaven? What is all those things, and what does that look like? Okay, basically a thought of, you know, what happens after you die? 5 minutes after you die, okay? All right, you're going to see a bright light at the end of the tunnel? I don't know. So that's kind of where we're going. All right, God bless you guys. If you're a guest with us, stop by the guest reception. All right, Tim, I'll turn it over to you.